You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. New York Times reporter Thomas Fuller spent 3 months reporting on the high street homelessness encampment in Oakland. What he found were people driven to homelessness by climate catastrophes, expensive medical emergencies, and a lot more. Fuller has reported on dangerous living conditions across the globe, but he says he still found the conditions at this Oakland encampment to be dire, even compared to conditions in a developing country like Mexico. Residents have no running water, and they face constant threats of the city tearing down the encampment and moving them to another location. His article is entitled, Among the World's Most Dire Places, This California Homeless Camp. Fuller came in studio to tell me more about what he learned through his reporting.
I feel in many ways that this is the story of our time. It feels like it really defines the inequalities that we have in the society, especially out here. I mean, this encampment that we went to is, you know, 40 miles from Google and Apple and Facebook. I mean, those companies together are, is it $2 trillion? I mean, enormous amount of money, you know, and wealth. That contrast of that we see every day, you know, we drive past homeless encampments, you know, we see them under freeway bridges.
And the one you visited was the High Street.
The one we visited was High Street next to the Home Depot, kind of on the fringes of Fruitvale. And it's been there for a long time, about five years.
5 years?
Yeah, maybe a little longer. It's grown. It started out as something more modest, but basically it's a vacant lot next to the Home Depot parking lot.
And you're a former foreign correspondent, so you've been to many other places in the world. You made this comparison in this article as a part of kind of the one of the big ideas here, I think, was that it can be comparable to slums in other countries. Can you explain that?
Well, so I was a foreign correspondent, or as we call it, international correspondent, in Southeast Asia, in Europe. I covered the Arab Spring. And for this story, we went to Mexico City. You know, homelessness is a global problem. Every city you go to seems to have some version of it, but it's very different in each country. And when we started spending time at the Oakland encampment, I began to come up with this, I don't know, persistent idea, this framing that what we were seeing was kind of a refugee camp, that people were there because they had fled literally fires and floods, but also they'd fled personal disasters. Mm-hmm. They'd fled, medical catastrophes. And the idea that it was a refugee camp sort of gave it a global feel, like, well, how do people in similar circumstances deal in other countries? So why did we choose Mexico City? The UN representative who had been to the High Street camp in Oakland also went to Mexico City, and we went to the same encampment just to sort of follow up on her comparison.
And can you just talk about that comparison? What happened with the UN?
Well, you know, it's funny. After we published the article, someone on Twitter said that it's easier to be poor in a poor country. And that's a fascinating idea. And I think we saw some of that when we traveled to Mexico City, because the encampment that we saw, it was a similar situation. It was people, it was a community of last resort. People were there because they had fallen somehow. Mm-hmm. One of the men was shot and he couldn't work anymore because of his injury. Other people had substance abuse problems. Other people just lost their jobs. And so it was a similar community of people who, just had lost their way or had fallen in some way, and they came together by these railway tracks in Mexico City. And the comparison with Oakland is that in Mexico City, the authorities said, look, you have nowhere to go. Why don't you go there? Go to that spot.
The authorities said
that. The authorities said that, which I found very interesting. And the authorities turned a blind eye to a lot of what the community did. The authorities were clear. They said, this is not your land. This will never be owned by you. But for the time being, you've got to live. And why don't you set yourselves up there? They... Compared to Oakland, it's very different. And now...
Where
you know,
people are pushed out from their homeless
where encampments. People are moved along, and you know, and we see that across the Bay Area. And in Mexico City, they would tap electricity from telephone poles illegally. They would get water from like the municipal water system. They would sort of tap into it, and they had sort of garden hoses running all over the place. They had they built their own septic tanks, so they had functioning toilets. They had functioning kitchens. It was very makeshift, and it was, to put it mildly, bending the law. But they, you got a sense that their lives were, they had conveniences that you kind of need every day. And that's a framing that I've tried to put myself in the shoes of someone who wakes up and has no running water, who wakes up and can't just quickly cook up a meal, who, and that's paralyzing. I think it's really paralyzing if you don't have a bathroom where you're sleeping, if you don't have just running water to wash your face, to, you know. And so in Mexico City, they did have that. Mm. And that I found just from the very basic human perspective, it was more humanizing. And now I'm not saying that their situation was ideal. It wasn't at all. And we heard about suicides there. So, you know, people were definitely frustrated. They were struggling. But in some ways, their situation, because they could kind of accommodate better, it seemed in some ways more stable. They had been there 10, 15 years, some of them.
I understand what you're saying in terms of people who've been living in, quote unquote, the first world, who have kind of fallen and trying to make their lives work, as opposed to people who grew up in poverty or who grew up in those kind of situations, right? The Supreme Court left in place a court ruling that cities can't remove people from sleeping in public places unless they can provide them with homeless shelter space. So do you think, does it look like that will happen? Does it look like, you know, the ruling conflicts with like Oakland official plans to shut down the High Street encampment? What do you see as happening?
You know, Oakland is an interesting case because I think in some ways, let me try this out. I think they're a victim of their own compassion in some ways. I mean, a lot of cities don't tolerate at all, you know, encampments like the ones we see in Oakland. And Oakland has a policy, and certainly the leaders in Oakland are under a lot of pressure to dismantle encampments, but they have a policy to try to have people have somewhere to live. And if they're going to close a place down, the official line is, we will try and find some, you know, somewhere for people to go.
That's the official line.
That's the official line. And the people in the encampment didn't agree. They said, you know, you had a sense of impermanence that they felt that they didn't know where they would go. And the city has said they intend to close this.
Despite the Supreme Court ruling.
Right. Well, the Supreme Court ruling, you know, says you that there is a right to sleep outdoors, right? Or there is a right to. So, we'll see what happens, you know, not only in Oakland, but across California, right, where we have this crisis, how that will impact things.
Thomas Fuller is the San Francisco bureau chief for the New York Times. His article is entitled, Among the World's Most Dire Places, This California Homeless Camp. We've got a link to it at klw.org.